I would like for you to turn to the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. Daniel, chapter number 2. I want to, over the next several Sunday mornings, as God permits us to do, to look at the mysteries of the Bible. The mysteries of the Bible. And I need to tell you what these mysteries are not before I can tell you what they are. Over the next several weeks, we are not going to look at certain types of mysteries that you may think we're going to look at. We're not going to resolve all the controversial things in the Bible. We're not going to try to figure out whether the days in Genesis were literal 24-hour days, or whether the gap theory is valid, or whether all the animals could fit on the ark, whether or not the Israelites got their feet wet when they crossed the Red Sea, or where in the world is the Garden of Eden today. We're not going to look at any of those. What we're going to try to do is look at what the Bible itself calls mysteries in the New Testament. And what I want to do this morning is to give us a good working definition of mysteries as they are presented to us in the New Testament, as we're going to look at them. And what we're going to do is we're going to use a passage in Daniel, the entirety of chapter number 2, to substantiate the definition that we are going to use. So let's look at this chapter. We'll read it all. Verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Sirach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. How many are glad in the Bible there is forgetfulness? Amen. The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing has gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. If ye have prepared lying and corrupt lit words to speak before me till the time be changed, therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye shall show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth that there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, that Thou hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. You need to underscore that. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for the sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron and clay, the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and become like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And whosoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh into pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these things shall it break into pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of strength of iron, forasmuch as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. but it will break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut off out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And then Daniel requested of the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And that's God's word. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it this morning to give us foundation and substance in which we can build the rest of the series upon as we move into the New Testament to see how the Bible refers to mysteries and what mysteries are and what they mean to us. We pray, God, that you would help us to get this firm foundation under us from Daniel, that we would see and we would understand, that you would just build these truths upon us. I pray that this morning the Word of God will have its way. It will do exactly what you have decreed it to do. It will soften or it will harden. However you see fit to use your word, I pray that you would use it. But I pray this morning that a lost person may be saved, a wayward one that would be drawn close, and we would all leave today knowing it's good to be in the house of the Lord and to be a child of God. Lead us, guide us, direct us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Mysteries in the Bible are revelations that are not totally new, but are a fuller disclosure over something that has been, to a significant extent, been hidden. So it's something that has been, to some extent, hidden, but now is fully revealed. So we have something that is true in meaning that has been hidden or unknown that now is made known. That's what a mystery is in the Bible. Something hidden, now revealed. And in this passage in Daniel, I want to show you three things about mysteries to sort of get our feet on solid ground. Number one, the process of mysteries. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and in that dream there is hiddenness that surrounds it. There is in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar a secrecy, an unknowingness. There is a certain ignorance surrounding the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It is a hiddenness that a subsequent revelation or interpretation of that dream is going to be the mystery, or give us the understanding of that which is hidden. So we have here the very essence of what a mystery is: something secret, something hidden that is later revealed. Now, so that we understand things, let me say that this hiddenness can be a full hiddenness. In the case of this dream, the meaning of the dream, the content of the dream as well, are hidden. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He's troubled over the dream. He can't sleep because of the dream, yet he cannot remember the dream. You ever done that? You dream something and you wake up and you're troubled over it, but you don't even know what you dreamed. And so this troubling dream has affected him, and he just cannot shake the uneasiness of the dream. And so he calls all of the wise men in the kingdom to come, the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers. They all have been brought in to reveal to him the meaning of the dream. And what they want to do, they want the king to tell them what the dream was so that they can give him the meaning. Well, I thought, well, they're not too wise if I got to tell them the dream and then they can tell me the content or the meaning of the dream. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, I can't remember the dream. You have to tell me the dream and then the interpretation of the dream. And they know right away they can't pull that off. Because not only is the dream and the interpretation hidden from Nebuchadnezzar, it's hidden from all of his wise men. Nebuchadnezzar angrily decrees to have all the wise men in the kingdom to be killed. That would include Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were sort of wise men in training, brought over from Judah. Judah's very best, and they've been sort of under the tutelage of these wise men, and so they're going to be killed as well. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel all pray, asking the Lord for the answer to this mystery. And God gives Daniel the content of the dream and the interpretation of it. So what I want you to see here is that a biblical mystery can be the revelation of the true meaning of that which has been completely unknown or completely secret. That which has been covered in total secrecy and now has been revealed or known. And then I want to say, secondly, that hiddenness can be fragmental hiddenness. Now, whether Nebuchadnezzar has forgotten the dream or whether he simply will not tell the dream to make sure of the accuracy of the interpretation from his wise men, we're not sure. But what we do know is that there was a second dream in chapter number 4 in which he does reveal the content of that dream, but the wise men still cannot interpret the dream. So Nebuchadnezzar, in this later dream, has partial knowledge. He knows what the dream was. He just doesn't know the meaning of it. And the wise men are told the dream, so they have partial knowledge, and yet they cannot tell the interpretation of it because that is secret as well. And even in chapter number 2, when Daniel reminds Nebuchadnezzar of the content of his dream, he still is at a loss for the meaning of the dream. He has been reminded what the dream was in very vivid detail, but he still is in the dark about what the dream means, and the only one that has the mystery is Daniel. That is, the only one that has the fuller understanding, the fuller revelation of the dream is Daniel. So a mystery might be the revealing of truth that has been partially hidden. There has been a partial revelation, but not a full revelation, or there have been promises, but they haven't been fulfilled. There has been given some understanding, but fuller understanding is now given. And so that is the very essence of what biblical mystery is. As we come into the New Testament, I want you to know it's something that has been fully hidden or partially hidden that is now fully revealed. That's important for us to know. The true meaning, the true understanding is hidden partially or fully, but is given fully in the New Testament. Number two. The purpose of mysteries. And we need to spend a little time on the purpose of these mysteries. What is God's aim at hiding and then revealing? Well, Daniel reveals that in the king's dream there was a great statue. And this great statue had divided parts, right? It had a head that was made of gold, and the breast and the arms of silver, the belly and the thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet part iron and part clay. And these separate portions of the statue represent various kingdoms. And then there is a stone, not cut with human hands, that comes and crushes the feet of the statue and the entire statue itself. Or in other words, there is a stone that comes that will crush all earthly kings and kingdoms. And a final kingdom will be set up that will be without end and without foe and will never be destroyed. And God's kingdom will be a final kingdom. It will consume all earthly kingdoms and will last forever. So what is this dream and what is this interpretation of this dream? What's it all about? Well, two things. Number one, for the establishing of God's people. Now you understand the Bible is a book written by God for God's people. And these mysteries, as they are revealed, will be of great benefit to His people. Now remember, God's people here in Babylon are in captivity, right? Nebuchadnezzar has gone into Jerusalem, has taken all of the best people, has brought them back to Babylon. They are in captivity. But their captivity was not permanent. They may have thought it was permanent, but it wasn't. Matter of fact, it may last many of their lifetimes, but it wasn't permanent. You see, the idolatry of God's people, that's why they were in captivity. They were in idolatry. And so God chastens them. And the idolatry of God's people and the chastening of God to them for their idolatry does not mean that God was defeated or that God had failed. There is a plan by God for God's people. And listen, no earthly problem and no earthly difficulty alters the truth of God's plan. It doesn't alter God's plan for His people. God is going to come one day and He will smash all kingdoms and He will establish His own kingdom. And in the hardships of this life, don't lose sight of eternity and the reality that we have a sovereign God. Some of you are worried about November, as if November is going to change anything about eternity or the sovereignty of God. Listen, after November, God will still be sovereign. He will still rule, He will still reign, and no events on this earth are going to change that truth or even challenge that truth. There's still a kingdom to come, and that kingdom will be the kingdom of God, and He will set it up and it will be an everlasting kingdom. And God's people can look up and know, no matter what happens here on this earth, they are part not of a temporal are destined to fail kingdom, but they are part of an everlasting, all-powerful kingdom with Jesus Christ as its king. Good news here for people that are in captivity. God's going to crush Nebuchadnezzar, and He's going to crush every kingdom that rises up after him, and God is going to establish His own kingdom, and God's people will be a part of that kingdom. Oh, it helps God's people. And then it is not only the establishing of God's people, it is for the exaltation of God. What does Daniel do once he is given the content and the interpretation of the king's dream? What does he do? He praises and he exalts God. What does Nebuchadnezzar do when Daniel gives him the mystery? He praises and he exalts Daniel's God. You with me? The mysteries of the Bible, what we will look at in the New Testament, are not only designed to establish God's people with hope in Christ, but they are designed to bring honor and glory to God. It is for the praise of Him. It is for the exaltation of His power. It is for the remembrance that it is God that puts earthly kings and kingdoms in place for the purpose of His own doing. Did you hear me? All kings and all kingdoms have been put in their place because God desired to have them in that place. You with me? And He takes them away according to His same purpose. He causes kingdoms to rise and He causes kingdoms to fall. He causes kings to have the authority and power they have according to His good pleasure, and He causes power and authority to leave them according to His own good pleasure. All kingdoms fail. And all kings die except for one. The kingdom of God and the everlasting King Jesus Christ. It does not matter what anyone says or whether they believe or not, in the end, God will be the last king standing and His kingdom will be the last kingdom forevermore. The purpose of mysteries. Number three, the problem. Now, as I get to point number three here, I hope that we have some sort of foundation, right? What is a mystery? It is something that has been hidden, fully or partially, now revealed. It is for the establishment of God's people to establish and fix their hope in God, no matter what happens here earthly. And it is for the exaltation and the glory of God. But it is here, when we look at the problems, that I felt that it was important that we do this series. And I want to share two things, two problems. Number one, the misinterpretation of mystery. The mysteries are mysteries of the Bible. Say amen. They are biblical realities. Even with further and fuller revelation of that which was hidden, we still mess it up. Say amen. I heard a local preacher, this is not about a mystery per se, but it'll illustrate what I'm trying to warn us about. He was preaching on Moses being called by God to deliver God's people from Egyptian bondage. You remember the story? God calls Moses to deliver, to go to Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And remember, Moses was hesitant about going and about speaking to Pharaoh because of his slow speech and tongue. And God told him that God was aware of his speech problem because God had made his tongue. And that didn't change the call on Moses to go. Well, the preacher went on saying this. How many would say that they struggle or have struggled with the lie that I'm not good enough? I'm not a good enough dad. No matter how hard I try, I feel inadequate. I'll never be good enough husband. My best just isn't good enough. So many of us believe this lie and it affects us as if it were true because we wrongly base our worth on a couple of things. We base it on what others say about us. Someone said you're stupid or you believed it, you're no good and you believed it, or you're pathetic, or I wish you could be more like your brother, nothing like your sister. Or it's based on past experiences, past abuse, past neglect, whatever you have experienced in your past. And I listened to that and I said, what? You understand that that passage is not about us. You understand that passage is about Moses and God and the deliverance of His people. Somebody help me. You understand that that passage was not about how I feel about myself. You understand that scripture has nothing to do with that. And how many people have read Daniel 2 and then began to try to figure out who the kingdoms are that are represented by the statue? Well, I figured it out. It's Babylon, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. And here's my question. Do you see that in the text? Do you? I don't see anything about Greeks and Romans in the text. Do you? You see, understand this. We get the fuller revelation and we just mess it up. When we get the New Testament mysteries, There it is, revealed in all of its fullness, what has been hidden, and we still mess it up. What's the Bible say? The Bible says the interpretation of it, right? The mystery of it is this. Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head. Your kingdom's the head. And then we are given the final kingdom, which is God's kingdom. Nothing said about breast, stomach, thighs, legs, or feet. Not here. Not here. And we spend all of this time and all of this effort trying to figure out who these kingdoms will be, and will be they be coming in sequence, or how will that happen? That's not the point. Quit making something that's not the text the point. The whole point is God's kingdom. The whole point is God's kingdom's coming. We'll undo all other kingdoms and we'll reign forevermore. That's the point. Not trying to figure out all the kingdoms in the middle. And if that wasn't enough, we start trying to figure out who the ten toes are. And we're not even told if the statue has ten toes. Somebody help me. It might have. Then again, it might have been in a lawnmower accident and have seven. You see, what we do is we major on this statue, and the main point is not about the statue. The main point is about the stone that's coming to crush the statue. There are those who want to magnify the United States of America, the greatest nation under the hand of God. I want to remind you today that America is not the New Jerusalem. And I want to remind you of something. America is going to get the stone too. When the kingdom of God comes, America is going to be crushed as well. I would implore you to love your country and serve your country, but don't worship your country. Worship God. Magnify God. That is the point of this mystery. That's the point of all Scripture. Christ, not you. It's not about you and how you feel about yourself. It's about God. Take the interpretation or the mystery and go with that and stop trying to seek what's not there. Do this. Not only do we have the misinterpretation of Scripture, we have the missing of the mystery altogether. Are you listening? Now at the end here, once Nebuchadnezzar gets the content of the dream, says, oh yeah, I remember now, and the interpretation of the dream, he falls at Daniel's feet and he worships Daniel's God. And he begins giving Daniel all sorts of gifts and making him great in position. You listening to me this morning? If what Nebuchadnezzar did at the end of this chapter, he did in a typical independent Baptist church, there would have been an event like you had never seen before. Imagine this. A man standing in a pew of an independent Baptist church, tears running down his face. He leaves his place, he bows at the altar in front of the church, looks up to the preacher and says this, "Your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret." Your God's God! And then he wrote a huge check to the church. Not only would we be talking about Nebuchadnezzar's salvation, we would be voting him into membership. And we would have him coming back tomorrow night to give his testimony during revival meeting. Although, this was not a salvation experience. It was an emotional response to having his desires met. You with me? You see, that's what we want to do as a church. We want to make it an emotional experience so that we can get an emotional response. How do I know this was not a salvational experience? Because I read chapter 3. You ought to try it. You know what he does? He builds a giant statue of himself made of all gold. You know what he got out of that? I'm the head and I'm the gold. Here I am. I ain't going nowhere. He missed the mystery altogether. He missed it. He got the fuller revelation and missed it altogether. It didn't humble him. It only increased his pride. He ran right by the mystery altogether. And I've seen people do that. Mysteries in the New Testament, no matter what it says, they keep going right back to what they've always heard and what they've always learned, regardless of what this says. I've seen that 100 times. Listen, we do not judge based on how people respond in an emotional, powerful moment. We judge based on the fruit produced over time in the lives of those who profess they believe. And there are so many that have responded to the Word of God in some emotional moment. They've come down an aisle with tears streaming down their face, professing the Lord, promising all kinds of things, only to go out later that day and build statues to themselves. And we as a church gave them assurance of their salvation, and we added them to the membership of the church, and we began overlooking their sins, calling them carnal, and we made them twofold more a child of hell. All because they walked an aisle and said some words that didn't make one bit of difference in their lives. You with me? Don't miss it. You listening? Don't miss this. Your little kingdom. Your kingdom. Let's not talk about the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans. Let's talk about your little kingdom. You with me? Your little kingdom of self, it will be crushed by God. He offers salvation. He offers Christ. But if you refuse to honor and glorify God in this life, He is going to crush you like a cockroach. Say amen. Your kingdom is coming to an end. Because your kingdom and God's kingdom cannot coexist. There is going to be one kingdom and one king, and you ain't it. Say amen. There will be one surviving kingdom, His. On your way home today, I want you to pay close attention to the funeral homes and the graveyards that you will pass. Because in those funeral homes and in those graveyards, you will see God's crushing of human kingdoms. Everything that has been pursued and built in this life, crushed by death. Someone else takes control of what is left. Whatever your little kingdom, whatever remains of your little kingdom after you're dead, somebody else gets it. Somebody help me. Somebody else going to marry your wife. Somebody help me. Somebody else going to raise your children. Somebody else going to enjoy your boat. Enjoy your camper. God forbid somebody else going to watch your 60-inch flat-screen TV. Why? Because all kingdoms will be crushed, including yours. One kingdom, one king will be left standing. And the message for us today is this: you need to submit to Him, the King, Jesus Christ, because your kingdom is going to be crushed. No matter how big a statue you build, it's going to be crushed. you stand with me?